This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Come and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Notice, it doesn't say it contains the power of God. It says it is the power of God. The power is in the proclamation of the gospel. Is somebody here with me? The power is in the proclamation of the gospel. All right? So it says, to the power of God, to everyone who believes. In other words, not everyone will partake of this power. You have to believe the message of the gospel to partake of the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Next verse. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the original context, the original text where this is quoted from, it says, the just shall live by his own faith. Your own faith. Glory to God. You cannot live by someone else's faith. You have to live by your own personal revelation of God. Say amen. Okay, so it says, go back to verse 17. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Somebody say, from faith to faith. Now, this phrase, faith to faith, reveals the progressive nature of faith from two perspectives. First of all, from the revelatory perspective. And then secondly, from the dispensational perspective. What do I mean by revelatory? Well, the amount of faith you're able to express will always be determined by the revelation of God and His will that you have. In other words, as you learn more about God, as you are enlightened about the nature of God, about His faithfulness, about His will, you're able to express more faith. So it's from faith to faith. Hallelujah. In other words, it's from revelation to revelation, and that means it's from faith to faith. So every time I see you, I expect you to operate in a higher dimension of faith. Say amen, somebody. Unless you've not been listening to God's word. If you have, then year after year, just like in the Wafbeck experience, I believe that those of you who have been coming to Wafbeck over the past, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years, you know, you have grown in your expression of faith. Because the more you hear, the more you see by revelation, the more expression you're able to release. Expression of faith. Amen. So the first is revelatory, right? And the second, well, let me give an example quickly. Give me Romans 14 and verse 1. Romans 14 and verse 1. While you're giving me that, I want to quote a scripture. 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able to. All right? So I know him. I know him. All right? And I am persuaded. The word persuasion means faith. So my faith is dependent on what? My revelation knowledge of God. Look at an example here. Romans 14 verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith. So some, we all have the same nature of faith, but some are weaker than others in the faith. The same faith, notice, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Next verse. For one believes, in other words, says, don't argue about useless things. It says, for one believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only what? Answer me now. Is there now? Hallelujah. So don't harass somebody because they don't eat salad like you. Say amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some of us eat all kinds of meat. Amen. It's getting quiet in this sanctified assembly. Glory be to God. It's about faith. Amen. Nothing wrong with eating vegetables, right? But don't use it as a tool of oppression against someone who maybe has more liberty than you have. Say amen. It's about what? Revelation. When I eat my food, I sanctify it. Whether it is vegetable or meat, it makes no difference. I speak life into that food and I eat it and it nourishes my body. Say amen. I eat CO, I eat suya, I eat all kinds of food. Amen. I have no problem with food. Don't harass me again. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. But you eat your vegetable and be happy. I eat my meat and I'm happy. Why? This is called what? Revelation. The rules that used to apply no longer apply. Say amen. Then you have dispensational. Dispensational deals with faith in two dispensations. The previous dispensation, the origin of faith was natural. In this dispensation, the origin of faith is divine. So you have that great distinction. Many similarities, but this is a very important distinction. In one case, it's a natural faith. In this case, as believers, we have a divine faith. Because we are born of God, we have the faith of God. Give me 1 John 5 quickly. 1 John 5 and 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. 1 John 5 and verse 1. If you're alive, say amen. If you're dead, don't talk. If you're alive, say amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 verse 1. All right. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, notice, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right. You're born of God if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Next verse. Jump to verse 4 quickly for time's sake. Verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Right? And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. What's he saying? Our faith is born of God. Hallelujah. In other words, when you were born of God, your faith also was born of God. So you have the nature of God's faith integrated into your spirit if you're born again. So now we have the divine faith. As opposed to before Jesus came, they operated faith, but it was natural faith. It did not have the divine quality. And there's a distinction. Say amen. Hallelujah. So from faith to faith means from faith in one dispensation to faith in this present dispensation. Glory to God, which is the God faith. People say the God kind of faith. I don't quite like that, definition. It's not a kind of faith. It is the God faith. You are born of God. You have the same nature. You have the God faith. Someone say, I have the God faith. Put your hand like and say, I have the God faith. I live by the God faith. I operate in the God faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Glory to Jesus. It says, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. In other words, I have the same faith. I have the faith of the Son of God. And that is how I live on the earth. So when I say I live by faith, what do I mean? I live by the faith of the Son of God. Say amen. You have the God faith. You have the God faith, which means that you can believe the Father the same way Jesus believed the Father. Hallelujah. That also means the same works that Jesus did, you can do the same works. Except for his redemptive work. Every other work that Jesus did, you can do the same thing. Say amen. Say I can. Say yes, I can. That's why the scripture of Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's a reference to that nature of faith on the inside. So you have that nature, which means this year is your year. Say amen. The Lord told me that this year will be escalation. This is the year of escalation. Extraordinary escalation. Say amen if you believe that. Glory to God. And in the month of January, before this month is over, there will be significant manifestations that will set you on course for the rest of this year. Say amen. God wants to start you in a big way. That's how God operates. He wants to start you in a big way, and he'll propel you across this year with speed. This year will happen quickly. This year will happen quickly. God will cause you to rise and to move swiftly across this year. By the time you get to December, you'll be like, wow, we just started the year. And then you look behind you and see all kinds of achievements in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe what I'm saying, shout amen. May it happen to you according to the sound of your amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Also, something the Lord showed me just by the way, is that a lot of illnesses will be healed in the month of January. particularly uterine disease. If there's any form of disease of the uterus, prepare, because as you release your faith this month, you're going to receive a healing. Also, diseases that have urinary symptoms. When you have urinary symptoms for maybe prostate, whatever it is, male and female, different kinds of diseases, those symptoms will disappear by the 31st of January. If you believe the word, shout amen, it will happen for you. Glory be to Jesus Christ. But it's not limited to those. Amen. You can believe God for whatever it is. God wants to start us big in January, so that by the time you step into February, your confidence has risen. Say amen. And you're ready to run without looking back. Amen, amen, amen. Say amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know somebody just said, Pastor, what about me? And the kind of miracle I need is husband. I need husband. I heard you in the spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will do for you according to your faith. You see, your faith is not very strong. I said, the Lord will do according to your faith. May you receive divine hookup in Jesus' name. All right, now moving along. This God faith, we need to learn how to maximize the God faith. How to maximize it. How to bring it into maximum effectiveness. And that's very important, because how much you express this God faith will determine the level of manifestations that you will experience in your personal life. So we need to learn how to maximize it. And to maximize it, now this God faith, the difference, one major difference between the faith in that dispensation and this one, that faith was looking forward to redemption. That faith was looking forward to the Messiah. So you find that as soon as man fell, every book in the Bible can be summarized in one phrase. Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. So their faith was believing God for a coming Messiah. So all the blood sacrifices were pictures of the ultimate blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so they kept believing God. That was the essence of their faith. So they could by faith believe God for redemption. And then you get to the book of Matthew and Jesus has come. In other words, Messiah has come. Glory to God. And then you have this transition period between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts. All right? You get to the book of Acts, and Jesus has accomplished the redemptive work. He has risen from the dead. It is complete. It is finished. So we're no longer waiting for a redemption. So the focus of our faith has shifted. The new focus of faith now is what? Dominion. We're now in a place of what? Dominion. And what? Fullness. In the old dispensation, they could not enjoy the fullness of God. But we have access to God's fullness through this God faith. Say amen. I believe God, you will experience fullness in the year 2025. Glory to Jesus Christ. And so you find the concept of fullness, very important concept. You'll find it throughout the scriptures in the new covenant. You won't find it mentioned in the old except as a shadow of things to come. So you want to understand the fullness of God. I'll give you a few scriptures quickly. John 1:16. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. When? In this dispensation. Romans 15:29. Glory to Jesus. But I know that when I come to you, he's going to the Roman church. When I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. Fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. If there's a fullness, then there's a partial measure. You see, if there's a 100% measure, then there's a 20% measure. There's a 40% measure. See, your faith is now necessary. We have to learn how to believe God at the 100% measure. Say amen. The fullness. Ephesians 1:22-23. Ephesians 1:22-23, quickly. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Next verse. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What's he saying? He's saying the place of the body of Christ is the designated platform for the fullness of God. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Which means before the body of Christ came, nobody could experience the fullness of God. They couldn't. Because man had fallen. Man needed to be what? Redeemed and restored. Say amen. Glory to God. Colossians 1:19. This is your year for the fullness. Hallelujah. You will step into the fullness of God. What does that mean? Simply means a full measure of the benefits of Christ's redemptive work. Finish. You're just living according to what you're supposed to live like. Jesus died for you to live a certain way. We're supposed to live that way. Glory to Jesus. We go back and forth about sickness, back and forth about sickness. But in God's original design, based on the fullness of God and his redemptive work, we should get to a point where we're no longer sick. Say amen. Oh, I don't know if I have a witness in this house. If you want to be sick, continue. You can be sick. Amen. But you don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to die of sickness. Somebody told me some years ago, says, Pastor, somebody must die of something. What does that mean? No. You can finish your assignment without sickness, no accidents, no disaster, and just depart. You can even negotiate with God and say, Lord, I want to spend some extra time. I finished my assignment. Can I travel to, there's some places I want to visit. I'll visit those places and I'll now check out. And he will honor you. Say amen. Amen. This is a season of fullness. Say amen. Say fullness. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Fullness. Colossians 1:19, quickly. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Next verse. For it pleased the Father that in him, where are we right now? Where are we right now? We're in him. In him, all the fullness should dwell. In him. And that's where we are. So we have a right to partake and experience the fullness of God. But you have to believe. Colossians 2:9, quickly. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? The body of Christ is where you have the fullness of God. Next verse. And you are what? Complete in him. Somebody say, I'm complete. Shout it like you believe, say, I'm complete. In him. Hallelujah. Stop believing God for a husband that will come and complete you. You are complete. Oh my goodness. Stop believing God for a wife that will come and complete you. You are complete. Marriage is not a union of two incomplete people. That's a disaster. Marriage is a union of two complete people who know they are complete so that they put no pressure on their spouse. Oh Lord, help me. Are you here with me, somebody? If you're waiting for someone to complete you, you put too much demands on them, too much pressure, and they can't cope with it. Only God can cope with that kind of pressure. Say amen. Say I'm complete. Say I'm not insecure. I know who I am. I know where I am. I am complete. Yes. So let me explain some things. You see, this God faith requires us to take certain initiatives for us to maximize the God faith. There are initiatives we need to take. This is a faith to dominate. This is a faith to reign in this life. There are five initiatives I want to give you. I can't go through all. I'll just pick one, all right? But let me give you the five. Five important initiatives necessary to maximize the God faith. Number one, obedience. Obedience. You can't say you're operating in faith, but you are disobedient to God. It doesn't work like that. That nature is activated by obedience. Your faith has to be within the context of obedience. Number two, alignment. Alignment. What does that mean? Well, alignment with God's agenda. Alignment with God's assignment. Alignment with God's order. You see, you have to be in alignment for that God faith to be maximized. Number three is responsibility. This God faith requires your participation. If you think that you're going to sit down and do nothing and God's going to do everything, you're mistaken. There's a Godward side and then there's your side. It's a partnership. Say amen. You have a responsibility. You have to do something. Bible says faith without works is dead. What are the works? My responsibility. I have to do something. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to say, I believe God. You have to do something at some point. You have to take responsibility. Jesus told the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, he's been there for 38 years, long time he's been sick. And he said to the man, take up your bed and go home. I love that. In other words, do something. By the time you start doing something responsible, you will notice that sickness that kept you on the bed will disappear. Why? Because you are now doing something that people who are healed do. Say amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, take responsibility. You want to get married, right? In 2025, do something. Glory to God. As an act of your faith, dress well, look nice, smell nice. Say amen. Brush your teeth, for God's sake. Say amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Can I get a witness in the house? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Number four is love. The love initiative. Faith walketh by love. So when you're not practicing love, your faith will suffer. Hallelujah. It suffers shipwreck. You have to be in the practice of love for you to be in the practice of faith. Say amen. Compassion. Jesus did most of what he did by compassion. Love in motion. And that's how his faith was always maximized. And number five, boldness. Boldness. Glory to Jesus. Boldness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you with me here? Now, let me start with obedience. I want to say a few things. I don't have much time. A few things about obedience. All right? And then we'll just wrap it up. Glory to Jesus. Obedience. Obedience. Go to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 quickly. Obedience. 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 Hallelujah. Obedience. Let me have two people that I can use for an illustration. Two people. Two people. Please come. Romans 8:14. Glory to God. Thank you. Just come up. Thank you. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. This is obedience here. Because we have to put it within context. This obedience. For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God. Right? So obedience is not abstract. Obedience is within the context of the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit. And the most important theme here is the word led. Because being led by the Spirit is not spooky. It simply means that the Holy Ghost has become your leader. Someone say leader. Say, he's my leader. He leads me. So that means he's in charge. He's an authority. Glory to God. And that's the key. So let me explain something to you about the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Which of you wants to be the Holy Ghost? He was quick. He was quicker than you. So he's going to be the Holy Ghost, right? And you're going to be the one that follows him. All right? So go. Hallelujah. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right? All right, you can stop now. Now watch this. This is nice, but this is not the best picture. This is not the picture as it is in our dispensation. I'll tell you why. You see, because the Holy Ghost is here in front, the tendency is that we start to look for external signs of the leading of the Spirit. But you see, in this dispensation, which is different from the previous one, the Holy Spirit is in us. Say amen, somebody. So this is not exactly the picture. So I want you to come and stand beside him. Stand beside him. Glory to God. Right? But he must still lead. That's the key. He's got to lead. So how does he lead if he's not on the outside? And I'm watching him. This is how he leads. So I want you to take one step. Take one step. Just one step. Okay? No. Good. How did you know what I was going to tell you to do? This is my brother. Now, wow for you. Hallelujah. Okay, go. Yes. Did you see that? So look what he's doing. He's watching his feet. He's watching him. And then it is now step by step. In the new covenant, it is step by step. You may not see everything, but as long as you are following the Holy Ghost step by step, you will arrive at your destination. Come on, somebody. Are you here with me? So don't confuse yourself. Just wake up in the morning and say, today, Lord, show me what to do. Step by step. Step by step. Hallelujah. So that means that there will be times when I don't fully understand what's going on. But I know I took the right step. Hey, are you with me? And it will show forth later on. The signs, the evidence will show up that you actually took the right step. One day, you will arrive at that place. And everything is pop, 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 pop all around you. Why? You followed the Holy Ghost step by step. Someone say step by step. Clap your hands for them. Clap your hands. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's the key. That's the key. Watch out for the promptings of the Holy Ghost. The daily promptings of the Holy Ghost. He be bears witness with your spirit on the inside, and he will prompt you, and then you take that step. See this person. Yes. Disconnect from this person. Yes. Call this person. Go to this place. That's how it works. It's step by step. Wake up and pray. You're driving down the road and you have a quickening. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know why you are praying. It may be your life or somebody's life at stake. Step by step. Glory to God. You're believing God for a husband and you woke up that day and the Lord, you're about to dress up and the Lord inclined your eyes to see one dress, if not one for 5 years. You don't like the dress and the Lord says, wear it. You may not like the dress, but the Lord knows that person. When that person sees that dress, they will stop. Oh, okay, let me leave that side because you people don't want me to go deep enough. Say amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have been impressed to wear certain things at certain times? You know the Holy Ghost impressed in you to wear something. So why would he do that? Because he knows there's somebody that you will meet that color will be positive in their mind. It may be business. You're about to go for business and the Lord says, wear that tie. Maybe that man has loved that tie. Glory to God. And he sees you and then his heart will soften and then he will grant you the transaction. Say amen. I'm giving you guys certain keys here. This thing, you're supposed to pay money, but I will not charge you. Amen. Glory be to God. So what does this mean? This Romans 8:14. Let me show you quickly. Romans 8:14. Let me transcribe this properly, right? By reading another scripture. Go to Psalm 23 verse 1. This, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, is the exact equivalent of this scripture. Psalm 23 is a prophetic scripture. Psalm 22 was prophetic concerning the redemption of Christ. Psalm 23 is prophetic concerning post-redemptive realities. So the Lord was not our shepherd until he redeemed us. He couldn't be our shepherd because we were in bondage. But now he rescued us and brought us out. Now he's our shepherd. That's Psalm 23. So this is, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? Jesus. But where is Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So how does he shepherd us? By his Spirit. So the Lord is my shepherd means the Lord Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Someone said the Lord Holy Ghost is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, if you follow the Lord, he will take you to a place of what? Fullness. Say amen. This is real, oh. This is not just good preaching. This is reality. If you follow the Holy Ghost, he'll take you to the place of fullness. That is why Psalm 23, verse 5, quickly. Verse 5, very important. No, before verse 5, go to verse 2. Go to verse 2 quickly. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The only time you find sheep lying down is when they're what? Belly full. That's the only time sheep lie down. So for you to find sheep lying down means they're full. God will grant you fullness. I said God will grant you fullness. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That tells me something. This is not heaven. Because in heaven there are no enemies. So where is this? Here. In the sweet now and now. Say amen. Someone say this is not heaven. This is now. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now watch this. In the presence of my enemies, a table is prepared. This is a table of fullness. This is a table of fullness. It has been prepared. It's not about to be prepared. It was prepared through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It is now prepared. What you need is faith to rise up and go and sit at the table and eat it and enjoy the meal. Say amen. You will enjoy life, I'm telling you. You see, Christianity is not suffer-head, though. I'm telling you, it's not. There will be challenges, yes. You're going to face all kinds of situations, but there's enough grace. The grace of God is abundantly available. Say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't go to the cross for you to suffer the same things he suffered at the cross. He suffered those things as a substitute so you wouldn't have to suffer those same things. The things you will suffer today, you will suffer persecution. But there's grace to suffer persecution. Say amen. Glory to Jesus. Are you still here with me? Now go back to verse 1. Can I possibly come down? Will they catch me well if I come down? Do you know? Who knows? Nobody knows. Can I come down, you guys? I can come down. Hey, clap, clap, clap. Somebody clap. This is good news. I feel too far away from you guys. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Am I safe? I'm safe. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. You guys, God will answer your prayers. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you. Glory to God. And now I can see your eyes. You are no longer a mystery to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me go on now. Watch this. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Someone say the Lord. Say the Lord is my shepherd. This is important. This is what I'm going to tell you now is why many people are not hitting it at 100-fold. They're not maximizing the fullness. They're not seeing it. This is what I'm going to show you right now. There are several steps. What I'm going to tell you right now is most important. Say the Lord is my shepherd. This means you cannot afford to have another shepherd. You can't. If you have another shepherd, you will be misled. You will not be led to the fullness. You'll be led somewhere else. It will never be a complete package until the Lord is your shepherd. Somebody say one shepherd. Say one Lord. One shepherd. Very important. Which means you can't afford to be led by anyone or anything outside of your shepherd. You can't afford to be. For instance, you can't afford to be led by money. Amen. You cannot make decisions based on money. You make decisions based on the leading of the Spirit. You can't get up today and just say, you know what, I'm leaving town. I'm going to another town. Why? Because I got a job which offers more. Have you prayed? Because many have done that. And after some time, that place dried up. But because they've left their place of destiny, it has shut. Sometimes you live for too long and you get back and the door is shut. Have you prayed? I know a case where there's a lady who was about to relocate to another city. And she came and met me and told me I should pray for her. I was about to pray and I had a check in my spirit. I said, have you prayed? She said, no. I said, what is going on in your heart? She said, to be honest with you, I have a check. I said, go and pray. She prayed for a few days and came back and told me, Pastor, I don't have a peace to go on. I feel like the Lord says I should stay here. I said, then stay here. 2 weeks after, there's a guy that was relocated from Lagos to Abuja. Don't forget, she's believing God for her husband. Amen. And the guy intercepts her somewhere in town in Abuja here. And they got married a short while after. And they're now happily with children. And when I say, I like to see now, you see, you could have missed your destiny just because they offered you more money. Listen, Satan can offer you more money. If Satan knows money is the key for you, hey, he will offer you money to get you away from what? Destiny's pathway. You cannot be led by money. Amen? Some of you are not happy, but it's just the case. Amen? Take it or leave it. Say amen or say oh me. I will not change it. Hallelujah. Number two, opportunities. We're not led by opportunities. We are led by the Spirit. Not every open door is a God door. Are you with me here? It's not in this age, in these last days, it's no longer about just open door. It's about, is it the right door? You have to pray. You can get somewhere and the door is wide open. You stop and pray, Lord, is this the right door? Say amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. The right door. You are not to be led by dreams. It's getting very quiet in this place, so. Hallelujah. Can God use a dream to guide you? Yes. But it has to be God. Because there are many ways to have dreams. Amen. No. I can assure you, if you eat a very solid apple tonight, you will have a dream. Glory to God. If you watch a movie, if you watch a horror movie tonight, you will dream and see those same personalities in the dream. That did not come from God. Say amen. Sometimes a dream can be an attack of the enemy. Yes, nightmares can be a satanic attack. Listen to me. When you have a dream, you go to God and ask him, is this from you? And then if it is from him, ask him to interpret it for you. Say amen. We are led by who? Who are we led by? Somebody help me. Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Glory be to Jesus. We're not to be led by experiences. Someone said, well, experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. Experience can make you lose your legs. You have learned a lesson, but you've lost your legs. Amen. Experience can cost you your life. You have learned something, but you're now on the other side. Experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Ghost is the best teacher. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Be led by the Spirit in 2025. Because there are certain things the Lord wants to sort out for you in 2025. You have to pay attention to the Holy Ghost. Say amen. We're not to be led by fear. Somebody told me, this is a friend, you know, one of my relatives told me, Pastor, he says, I don't travel by air. Again, I'm not led to travel by air. I said, no, that's not the Lord. That's called fear. Just call it what it is. Hallelujah. The Lord cannot ban you from flying by air. Because driving by road is not safer than flying by air. Am I correct? There are more accidents on the road than you have in the air. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Wake up now. Wake up. Say amen. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. We're not to be led by fear. We're not to be led by convenience. Not everything's going to be convenient for you. Sometimes the Lord will lead you through inconvenient pathways. But that's not the destination. He's taking you somewhere. We're not to be led by sentiments. And this is a big one. We're not to be led by offenses. Do you know how many people are offended and they've allowed offense to guide their steps? Amen? You can be led by the Spirit to go into somewhere, but led out by offense. You can be led by the Spirit to a particular job, and then somebody annoys you, and you get offended. And then you left, not by the Spirit, but by what? Offense. You have to be led by the Spirit. Say amen. You have to be led by the Spirit. Go with me. Go with me to Acts. I have 11 minutes. Go with me to Acts. Acts verse 16 and verse 4. Acts 16 and verse 4. Acts 16 and verse 4. This is Paul and his team traveling and doing ministry. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Next verse. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Next verse. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, watch this now. They are preaching the gospel. They are going from city to city and they are preaching the gospel. Now look at what happens. It says, when they had gone through Phrygia and Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. What were they going to do in Asia? To preach. And yet the Holy Ghost says, don't go there. Bible scholars tell us that if he had gone to Asia at this point, he would have been killed because of the conditions right here in Asia. And they were not ready yet for his message. So God said, don't go. Notice the language, forbidden. This is strong. Can the Holy Ghost give you a strong check? Yes. Listen, guys, we've reached a phase now where we must be sensitive. We're close to the return of Jesus Christ. We are. This is sensitive period. You can't play Christianity like you used to play it before, where you just make a decision and do anything you want to do and did not consult with the one on the inside. He's meant to be our leader. Say amen. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right, wonderful. He says, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach a word in Asia. Next verse. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So these guys were not just recklessly going around preaching the gospel. They were being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why they saw so much success. And they enjoyed the fullness of God, because they were led by the Spirit. Now look at the next verse. At this point, when Paul notices, I go here, the Holy Ghost says, stop. I go here, he says, stop. What do you think he did? He must have gone back and prayed. He must have gone back to seek the face of God. All right? So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Watch this now. And a vision. So the first place of leading was not a vision or a dream. Those are secondary. Are you with me? The primary is what? The Spirit within you. Hallelujah. Because you can be misled by other things unless you have your primary leading in place, which is the Holy Ghost. He will help you interpret every other situation that comes your way. So what happened? It says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see what's going on here? So now they went to Macedonia. They were led by the Spirit. Say amen. In 2025, you will be led by the Spirit. I didn't hear that amen. Well, I said in 2025, you will be led by the Spirit. And he will lead you to your place of escalation. He will lead you to your place of fullness. Say amen if you believe that. Glory be to Jesus. So that's the key. That's the key. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. Can I have the music people, please? The music people, please come up. Glory to Jesus. You all rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you go, I will follow. Let it be your confession tonight. Thank you. One more time. Come on, shepherd of my soul. I want to ask that we just honor Pastor Boju for the great work he's doing in Wolfpack. Let's clap our hands, appreciate him. Hallelujah. And it's not easy to have Wolfpack in two cities at the same time. Hallelujah. But I think we should honor him and Pastor Toye for the wonderful work they're doing. Let's do that. If you have hands to clap, let's clap our hands. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Love you guys, and clap your hands and welcome Pastor as he comes.